you. Come over here. Word on the street is you're looking for a piece of the action. Premium quality dice, yeah? Check these out. Got them over at metallicdicegames.com. The best part is, if you tell them I sent you, you can get them even cheaper. Use the promo code RBP10 at checkout. Makes the price so low, you're practically stealing them. Oh, gotta go. Don't forget to use the promo code RBP10.
Hello, dear listeners. We wanted to give you a slightly different intro to this one before getting to the actual intro of the game. This game comes with a bit of a trigger warning. Needless to say, it is not for children, and comes with a mature content warning. Please be aware that this game contains mature themes including drugs, sex, sex magic, prostitution, sexual murder, and all manner of sexual practices are at least touched on. If this is not your type of game, please feel free to listen to any of our other shows. We completely understand. Thank you for listening.
The Rancor's Brothel presents Berlin, the Wicked City. Part 2, Dances of Vice, Horror, and Ecstasy.
You all went to, I assume, someone's house or apartment, I guess, together, the three of you?
Probably went back to Dottie's, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That seems like the best base of operations.
You've kind of discussed what you've learned. And you note that it is Sunday and nothing else is really open. And the recital is basically 8 p.m. this evening. So
don't ask to go to the bookstore again.
And it was like 2 o'clock in the afternoon when we left, right?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
Is the public library open on Sunday?
It wouldn't be, no.
Can I park my farthing outside your apartment? Like, will they impound it?
Just chain it. Okay. Chain it off to a hydrant.
Yeah.
It's fine. I don't know where they had hydrants.
I wanted to answer you in German, but then I was like, I don't know how to say farthing. Penny farthing. Yeah, I was like, penny farthing. I was like, I got nothing.
Is there anything else you'd like to attempt to do before the day is set?
Yes.
Bathe.
So.
You can bathe. You're in a filthy apartment.
With my artistry.
Mm-hmm.
Just my, you know, like, artsy people just, they might specialize in one thing, but like they could dabble in other things. Like there's that sure. general artistic spirit. Sure. I would like to forge or make press passes.
Press passes?
Yeah. Like if we had this whole, like we're with the newspaper,
uh-huh.
right? Like having something that we could flash to say like, oh, we're here. In case there's something going on behind curtains so that we can get, you know, during this recital into the back and kind of see what's the setup, what's going on.
Okay.
Would we have talked to, was it Alvin and the Chipmunks? What was his name?
Alvin Growl.
Growl.
Yeah. Well, so he wanted us to be pressed to interrogate what's her nuts, the crazy lady.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So... could he possibly have given us press passes? I know he's not like, he's not super rich, really, but he's got kind of like.
It's not really his area of expertise.
I know, but he asked us to be press. So I'm wondering if he would be like.
Well, he asked you to investigate.
Yeah. He didn't ask you to portray a press shop. I mean.
No, he told us to go upstairs and interview them. Like we were part of. He said we were part, like to be there as more of a like.
Yeah, that was interviewing. The cover.
That was the cover. So he came up with wrong. That. So
you're not wrong.
But he didn't have anything for us in terms of
like cash or anything. I would be like, hey, you know, can we pretend like, do you have connections with somebody in the newspaper? Because he's not like low class society. Before we would have left. I mean, that would have been a good thing to at least be like, hey.
Let me look at his stats.
Because if not, we just make up a newspaper.
Yeah, no, and that's completely fine.
Yeah, like we just solidify our story and
the Berlin Herald or whatever it was.
Make some little badges.
Berlin Gazette.
All right. Berliner Weissrot. It's actually a beer, but
we're the beer news.
It's actually essentially this, but a little bit more sour.
Okay.
Let's see.
Yeah, I rolled for him on his skill. His skill, he doesn't have that kind of connection.
So never mind.
So you do your art.
Yeah. So I'm gonna just start putting together.
Yeah.
So something. You have. What's your art specification in?
Diorama. So putting together.
So I will give you art at hard.
Okay.
Can I assist? Is hard assisting a thing?
Hard is half.
Not for a skill you don't have.
I have library use.
You can cut the paper. Fake news passes.
Librarians tend to know how to write it.
I did not get it.
Okay. So
I would have gotten it.
You make press passes. They look like a five-year-old made them, but you got them.
Okay.
I'm not saying you didn't make them. They're just not good.
We just didn't have a typewriter, so you tried to print in handwriting.
Yeah. They're not super convincing. Okay. That's fine. Maybe they won't look.
So maybe just like a flash. Yes. Yeah, they're one of those, like, if you have like a Costco card, have you ever played the game? Like, what card can I get into Costco with without my actual Costco card? Yeah.
Yep.
It's that game.
So yeah, you got some shitty press passes.
Okay.
I also would casually mention maybe we should bring some earplugs with us tonight, since we don't know if maybe it was the music that had some kind of influencing effect.
So I'm assuming that in the 1920s, they don't have the rubber ones.
It's going to be like a bullet cup.
So yeah, I was going to say, Dottie would just go to the closet and like rip up some fabric and like, you know, ball it up. Maybe put some wax on it from a candle so it like fits to your ear.
Like our neighbor who puts tissues up her nose when she blows. Exactly. It's fine.
Okay. So then are you just waiting to the recital after this? I mean,
it's probably going to take you some time.
So.
It's true. It's Sunday. I guess we could pray.
It's the Lord's Day.
Depends on what your religion is.
I mean, you could all go back to your places, get changed into like your actual clothes instead of wearing too short of clothing.
Friedrich will admit that your clothes are nicer than anything he has at home. Your dead father's clothes.
She will ask for the pants so she can hem them to your height.
Okay.
So she'll just undo the cuff so it's like longer.
You could probably hem them before you leave.
Adelaide would probably go
back. If anything, she would like pin stitch it so it wouldn't be like a full hem, but it would pin stitched.
She'd go back to her father's house and get changed. And
you don't want
to
wear Lottie's clothes?
You know, Lottie and Adelaide, I feel like, maybe had a different fashion sense.
Yes.
Also, the memories. Yeah. Hurts a little.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. She is someone. Yeah.
Yeah. Friedrich, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. She would also find you like a suit coat because it's a recital, right? So we have to look a little nice.
Sure.
So she would give you a few pieces and she'd like be hemming, like pin stitching them so they kind of fit you a little bit better.
Dope.
Cool.
I like how I turned into like your mom.
Do we want to plan to meet outside the recital place?
I would say let's meet at like maybe a coffee shop a block or two away.
You would know that Clarison's Ballhouse or Clara's Ballroom, if you will. You would know it has a cafe attached to it, actually.
Ooh, okay. Dope. So let's meet in the cafe at, I don't know,
at
quarter two or
15
half past
beforehand.
Two or whatever it is.
Okay.
Wait, I thought it was at 8.
It is at 8. It was a joke.
Oh, okay. I was like, wait. We're staking out for 6 hours.
Yeah, so we would meet like maybe a half hour beforehand.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
You gather. It is...
Wait, can I sit on the back of your penny farthing while we ride there?
You add a basket to that thing? Just put a basket in the front.
A sidecar.
With two very tiny wheels.
Right? Like super, like way too tiny.
Yeah.
Like Lego tiny?
It's just a wagon, like a child's wagon.
Yeah.
You arrive at Clara's Ballroom. It is an unassuming gray stone building. Sort of set back off of August Strauss. The patio outside is crowded with cafe tables. Over the entrance hangs a hand-painted sign depicting a dancing couple and announcing the venue's name. Despite the event's late hour, which is 8 p.m., the heat of the day hangs very heavy. It's humid, it's hot, it's uncomfortable outside. There are two doors to this place. One of them is the main entrance. Entering that door, I'm just assuming some of you have at least been here once. There will be a coat check just inside. There's also a wine bar in the back. However, the door on the right is the one that goes upstairs to the music hall. Now, this is not a very large building or a large room. It is kind of like a 30 by 30 space, roughly. A little smaller than 30 by 30.
So basically two floors, lower floors, coat check and
yeah, cafe. The coat check and the small bar. There's a wine. Yeah, the cafe kind of sits outside.
Okay.
And then there's literally a door that is, it's a separate hall. You can't even get to the hallway to go upstairs from the main door. You have to go in the other outside door.
Okay.
So there's a door in the center of the building and a door to the right. They would be labeled as main entrance and Die Spiegelsaal, which is the mirror room, as they call it.
Okay.
What?
The mirror room.
What did you call it in German, though?
Die Spiegelsaal. S-P-I-E-G-E-L-S-A-A-L. Again, we don't pronounce anything properly. Especially German.
And a lot of English.
Because normally room is Zimmer.
I'm just reading what it says.
No, I'm not judging you. I'm just curious.
I don't know.
Gotta write to the publisher.
Well, just like we talked about.
It could also just be like a fancy name. And because some things are just not technically.
That's fair.
It might be.
The same.
So you guys go up a set of stairs. It goes up. You get to a landing. You turn left. It goes up a little further. And then you enter a door into the room. When you enter the room, there are a couple of dozen chairs kind of in a half circle with a piano sitting in the northeastern corner. On the eastern and western walls, there are two massive mirrors on each wall. The only window to this room sits very high on the southern wall. It's about two rows of window, but they are probably 12 feet at minimum above you. You see that the room is filled with quite a few people. You can sit basically anywhere you want.
Do we recognize any of the people here as people who might have been at the show the night before?
No. No, and to be fair, the show before, a lot of people had masks. The only person that you recognized was in uniform. You do not see that gentleman.
So is this kind of a different scene? Also, like, yes. Different kind of
Yeah, it is not
crowd.
The rough and rowdy crowd. People are dressed well. No one is shit-faced. No one is howling and whistling for nudity like they were at the other place. It's not a cabaret. It is a piano hall.
No one yelling top swine.
No one yelling top swine.
Yet. Just wait.
Until this guy gets up.
Yeah.
Is Anita here? Or Henry?
You do not see either of them.
Is there like a curtained off area or...
Nope.
This is just a pretty open room.
It's a one room hall. The only door goes into the stairwell.
Which is back down where we came from.
It's the room. It's the door you would have walked into to get in.
I mean, I feel like I'm just going to go downstairs because I want to find them and just see what they're up to.
Okay.
So I would go back downstairs
into the cafe or okay?
Yeah.
No, that's fine. The rest of you, the other two, I assume are hanging out.
Yeah. I think Adelaide would take a seat and make sure to save a chair for Friedrich.
Yeah, we would probably just put one between us.
That's fine. 8 o'clock comes and no sign. And time continues to pass by and... over time, you see that it's hot, it's stuffy, it's uncomfortable. A lot of people get up and leave, frustrated. At some point, around 8:20, Friedrich, you see Berber and Chatain Hoffman approach the building. They kind of give you a nod, and they enter the door and start heading upstairs.
All right. I would... do I notice anything like... How they're dressed. Like, does she look like she is
You recognize the dress that she is wearing as the black dress she wore when she performed Morphine, which was the first act of her act the previous night. And the rest of you, the other two of you, would also recognize that dress once she enters the room. By the time they get up there, Presuming you follow them up to the hall, to the music hall.
Yes. Does she look inebriated? Is she stumbling? How, like, what's her?
No more worse than she was at the apartment.
Okay, so when she's fucked up.
Yeah,
and she was like puffing. She appears very
groggy. She appears groggy. Okay, for sure.
So she does appear like she's under the influence of the same drugs that she was under.
She's under the influence of something, but then again, she always was.
Yeah,
she was huffing ether.
It was ether and something. Chloroform, something like that. Yeah, in a bowl mixed together.
She goes hard. Right?
Yeah, she knows how to party. Apparently.
Performers, man.
Yeah.
So when you walk back up there, you know, and you would have noticed people walking out because you were at the cafe. But when you get up there, you notice your two companions and one other gentleman sitting not far from them.
That's it?
That's all that stayed.
I'll kind of just quietly sidle. Like, I found them.
Yep, they're here.
And I'll also eye the other gentleman. Just kind of size him up.
Yeah, let's scope him out. What's the kind of this jib?
What's this clown all about?
What's he look like, yo?
What is your character wearing tonight?
Great question. My character,
yes, a banana hammock.
It's so hot in here.
With a handlebar mustache.
Just for season.
Yeah.
I mean, it was hot.
To the contrary, probably actually a little, maybe even a little bit too stuffy for the temperature and the occasion. He's decked out to the nines with what you would consider kind of like British formal evening wear.
Three-piece suit.
With the tails and everything. And he's actually fanning himself with his hat.
Oh, okay. Nice.
You see this gentleman. You see three other people have stuck around.
Okay.
Also, and they're all staring at you.
Yeah.
Also stuffing cotton into their ears. Yeah. At a performance.
That's amazing.
Well, you'd have to warm it up in your hand so the wax was warm so it would actually mold to your ear.
Stuffing out your ears.
Although it's really like warm, so it might be, right.
I'll saunter over and nod and say, Charles Astor at your service. Are you excited about the performance?
Oh, very.
And no one responds because you're probably speaking English.
No, I'd say I'd speak
I'm just
German.
He'd say
I might be like broken
Fräulein, Fräulein, and then Monsieur. My German is adequate at best. I have to apologize. What brings you here? Are you fans?
Yes, we're great fans of.
As you're wearing your maiden press pass around your neck,
we're fans. But we're also here. We've been interviewing Henry and Miss Berber, and we saw their show. Was that last night?
It was last night.
Oh my God, last night.
Well,
as well.
I don't mean to intrude, but as you can see, I am without companionship. Do you mind if I join you?
Not at all.
Please do.
All right. And he produces from his coat jacket a flask of an unknown substance, as he's fanning, just kind of subtly takes a swig and offers it.
That's an absinthe.
You find out.
Thank you, but I like to stay clear-headed during these performances.
Oh, after a while, this is all you can do to stay clear-headed. He takes another hit.
You find that surprising in Berlin?
Well, somebody's an alcoholic.
Yeah. Yeah. You would actually find it surprising that no one would accept a drink in Berlin.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yes.
We're on the job.
Well, no.
We know what happened
We
last
know what
night.
Happens when we drink.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't remember at all.
As they hide their hickeys.
So what brings you here?
I'm actually just recently tenured at King's College in London. I'm a professor of archaeology and, you know, that sort of gig takes you about the world. So I'm here on, let's say, a project for future publication.
I was going to say sabbatical, but you just got the tenure, so it may not fit. Oh.
That's a dope deal.
Yeah, right.
Just got the job. Bye.
Adios.
Can't get rid of me.
What is your area of expertise, if you don't mind me asking?
Right. So, ancient Egypt, specifically. It's quite fascinating. Did you know that most of the things we know, in a colloquial way, about Egypt are absolute bullshit? Invented by some douchebag French guy like 200 years ago. We know very little about ancient Egypt, and I'm interested in tracking some of the things that were stolen from the pyramids around the world, so we can actually learn more about their society, more than, you know, what popular culture.
Dottie under her breath would be like, well, then go look in Britain.
Colonizer.
Nope.
Stolen.
Wait, what? Okay.
First come, first serve.
What was the name?
Beat you to it.
Babylonian Egyptian mythology. Astarte, moon god. Was that it? Astarte?
Yeah, but she's Babylonian.
Mm-hmm. And as your conversation kind of continues, you hear Chatain Hoffman, if you will, ladies and gentlemen.
I look at the four people here.
He doesn't seem bothered by the amount of people here.
Not surprising. He's probably high.
He says, I thank you for attending. If you don't mind, I will begin.
I raise my hand.
Yes, sir?
Do you mind if I take photographs?
Whatever you wish. And he just sits down. And the way the piano is situated, his back is actually to you.
Hmm. Where's Berber?
Yeah,
she is question. Seated in a chair close to the front, just by herself.
I would assume we're like in the front, like the, so if it's a semicircle, right, we're in like where his back would be directly in front of us.
Yeah, she's off to like, she's like the very last chair all the way on the right, keeping to herself.
I would scootle up to the like second row.
I assume we'd be in the first row. So
are we?
It's only two rows of chairs.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
It's only like 2 dozen chairs.
So we're like here.
Oh, okay. Then I will stay put.
During the performance, I'm going to keep an eye on Berber and just see if and when her attitude seems to change.
That's fair.
I'm stuffing my ears.
Yeah, my ears are stuffed.
Ears would have already been stuffed, and Dottie would actually just like reach into her little dress pocket and like hand them to you and be like, you might want these.
Right. And I just given her the look on her face.
Yeah,
and my instinct says to follow that direction.
I love the German culture.
That we are the only four people that stayed for the performance.
And we're all wearing earbuds.
That's like amazing.
We wanted to hear it enough that we stayed, but we still plugged it in.
Yep.
And he begins to play. If you'd like, you can roll to
Rat Jam.
Figure out which what song this is.
What's the roll? Was that Edu?
Did we use Edu last time?
Yeah, that's
I believe that's what we did. It's no knowledge roll there.
Nope.
Yep.
This is good. I got it real good.
Successful.
Yeah, 72 out of 71. So.
Okay. Nope.
Damn it.
First roll. This is Liszt's Totentanz, otherwise known as The Dance of the Dead.
Mm-hmm. Very spooky. He's set in the mood.
It is a pounding, dynamic piece whose melody paraphrases the medieval Gregorian chant Dies Irae, which is Day of Judgment.
Well, that's not ominous.
And I don't know if everyone else can hear that at home, but as you can hear, it explodes, and he continues.
Get it.
Let's play.
I'm just sitting there like, or anything, but I
no, you'd probably still be able
I'm
to heal.
He's like pounding it.
Like, you'd still be able to hear it, and you'd probably also be able to
it's
feel
just super muffled,
it a little bit.
Yeah.
It would be really muffled. So it'd be like if Lucas put his hand over his phone. That's
probably
what
it sounds
hear.
Like to the listeners, right?
Yeah.
Now.
I'm gonna snap a quick picture from behind, and then I'm gonna get up and kind of walk around like I'm snapping pictures, but I just want to see his face as he plays.
His eyes are closed as he plays. Slightly furrowed brow. You can tell that he has invested himself into this. It is a passion of a performance.
Does he have sheet music in front of him?
He does not.
Okay.
So his face hasn't turned like into a skull or anything?
No.
Oh.
He's not breathing fire. Okay.
Well, there goes all my...
Well, suspicion. I'm out of ideas.
Get out of here.
I am going to do my little, open the shutter and...
Well, you're fine. You're taking photos.
What's Berber doing?
Adelaide.
Yes.
Something catches your eye in the mirror. And you realize, because there are four mirrors,
mm-hmm.
you know, two on each side facing one another, you kind of get that weird effect where you see multiple reflections across from one another. Like, you ever done that in a bathroom mirror?
Yeah.
Like, you see Berber's face in the mirror.
Mm-hmm. Because I've been watching him.
And you realize that it sort of looks harsher.
Oh, no.
More haggard.
Her face is a skull.
Not a skull, but she looks...
A dying woman.
She looks far older than a 27-year-old woman.
And even older than what she looked yesterday.
Yes. You can see that in the mirror, the image, you can see that her theatrical makeup almost looks like an artificial mask, like it's almost caking off. Her lips are pinched and severe. But the most jarring thing that you notice, her black morphine dress, the dress she wore when she performed morphine, is now a deep crimson, the color of viscera.
So, if I look back at her and not her reflection, the dress she's in is still black, but in the mirror, it appears crimson.
She's wearing a crimson dress.
Oh, so now it's just crimson.
Each of you, over time, glance at the mirrors, you notice changes, differences in yourselves. All of you. I want each of you to briefly describe for me around the table. We'll start with Spencer. What do you suddenly see in the mirror when you look at yourself? What is your secret or ugly truth that is reflecting back at you? What is your... What is your inner self, even?
Hmm.
Have your clothes changed? Has your age changed? Has even your gender changed?
Yeah, so he's much younger. And he is in, I'm trying to think what would be like historically accurate in terms of, World War I attire, but basically he's in a British World War I, uniform, and he is, absolutely just covered in blood, kind of centering around his chest. Mm-hmm. And kind of radiating towards his arms, and clearly in trying to wipe off something on his face, there's blood on his face, and he just stares at it and through it all at once.
What does Dottie see?
Dottie looks at herself and she looks more like Lottie. Even more so, younger, prettier, but also much more optimistic looking, like just happier. However, when you blink, she then goes covered in bruises and sadder and more haggard and less pretty as Lottie. And like, you know, you can just tell that the world around her has just been really harsh to her. And that's why she no longer looks like Lottie.
Fun.
What does
Friedrich look like?
Friedrich, in a similar way, in uniform, but clean, pressed uniform, medals. He's got insignia, he's got rank, he's got, like, he's successful. He probably has a little beret, and he just looks stoic. He looks unbothered. He looks... Nothing is, you know, possessing him. There's no urge. There's a satisfaction with where he is.
Adelaide.
As Adelaide is watching herself in the mirror. Her face morphs into a combination of her face and her mother's. And that is very unsettling.
So you appear maybe a bit older?
Yeah, but like taking on her mother's facial features, and also some of the madness that became apparent in her eyes in her later years.
Okay. This is a 16-minute composition, by the way.
Goodness.
Not that you would realize that walking in. And even still, you don't realize how much time has even passed by the time it ends. And the music, you realize, is suddenly gone. And you each look at one another and you see your reflected selves rather than your original selves. You see a man in military garb covered in blood, a man you've just met. You see a young woman who looks similar but not quite like Lottie, now covered in bruises. You all see another man in military garb looking somewhat satisfied and not quite as unhinged as he is nowadays. And you see a woman who appears a tad bit older and maybe a bit of a mess. Maybe perhaps her hair is a bit tufted. Clothing would be different. You see each other, but you don't see each other. Please roll sand.
Yeah, yeah. There it is.
I know, I was waiting. I was there like, damn it
is. Is that just a
D100? Yeah.
Yeah.
I failed.
Oh, I think I... Wait, where's my sand?
It's
the big box.
I failed.
I passed.
I failed.
Wait, we have to roll below it, right?
Yes.
Correct. Yeah.
It's meat or below. Dope. And you can't use luck on sanity checks. If you passed, it is 0. If you failed, it is 1 sanity.
Oh.
That's not
that bad. As we all say that, and then we're like, shit, later on. If I wouldn't have lost that one.
Just remember the rule. If 5 and 1 go, you get a bout of madness or 1/5 of your current within a game day. This is what you see. The final notes sort of fade away. Chatain Hoffman and Berber are nowhere to be seen.
Again?
Well, these fucking earplugs didn't work.
Seriously.
You realize...
Well, now we know it's not sound.
Right.
Yeah.
Or probably not sound, because you could hear, but maybe not as harshly.
Yeah, you don't even have the things in your ears anymore. Those are gone.
Wait.
They stole my earplugs.
They're just like stuck. Wait, someone went into stuck to the piano.
kind of monsters.
You look about you and you are still in the mirror room, as they called it. That is the name of the hall. What catches your eye next is that the window kind of allows in a milky light rather than the darkness of 8 p.m.
Oh my God. Shit, it's morning.
Again.
For that is another sand check.
Gosh, dang it.
The temperature has also fallen in the room. It's significantly chillier than it once was.
I passed.
Passed.
It's 1 for passing.
God damn it. Why is that more
bad? It's a combination of things. Yeah. You also note that the door to the mirror room, the one that you entered to enter here, is closed, which was not the case before. What would you like to do?
What time is it? You don't have a pocket watch?
Oh.
No, that was Tyler.
Oh, yeah, probably do. I would rummage and
dingled with pocket watches.
Find it. Yeah, what time is it?
The clock seems to have stopped.
At what time?
Around 8:30.
Shake it. It's junk.
Never mind. I would say, would you know it stopped? Because it could be 8:30 in the morning, but never mind.
Hey, Charlie. You all right, bud?
I'd say this whole time Charles has just been kind of staring into the middle distance, and when Frederick?
Yeah.
Yeah, when Frederick says his name, he kind of snaps out of it. Right, yes. What happened?
We got Berbered.
Again.
How does this keep happening?
That's a t-shirt. That's a fucking t-shirt. Yeah, we got Burbard.
This is somebody a second wants to ride make that. For you. So you took this ride the first time, and then you decided to get back on the ride. Why?
Curiosity?
Killed the cat. Mm. But I understand.
What did you kill?
It's a fun question.
He just takes another swig.
maybe is a...
Yeah, Dottie's like, let's not go there.
Maybe we should figure out our current situation.
Yeah, Dottie's like, I need to get to work.
You go to take a swig?
Yeah.
There's something sand. In there.
And then he just kind of in front of them just tips it over and shows them that sand is
it's
coming
sort
up.
Of a sand, a rusty sand.
I'm guessing that wasn't sand last night.
Hey,
No. It was actually quite expensive.
I would scoop some up as like, gin. Did you test that?
Yeah. She grabs your flask and just pours it back in and like pockets it.
Her flask now.
I'll give it back.
That is monogrammed. I'm just
I'll give it back. She goes, yes. And just like stuffs it back in her bra. Correct.
But is it Charles' initials?
Yeah.
That's a fair question. Yeah. It's a fair question.
So, I'm gonna like get up and I'm looking at myself in the mirror, like we're all our mirror selves.
Still? That seems to be the case. Yes.
Okay.
Still,
I'm listening to you with your seams.
Yes, there. That is that. Yes.
Dottie's gonna walk over to the door and try to open it.
The door opens.
Okay, so we're not locked in.
Yeah.
That is important because there was only one fucking door.
And a window.
One door and
right, and a window 12 feet up. Even if, like, Dottie stood on Frederick, we wouldn't be able to get to
he
it.
Can't walk around covered in blood.
Oh, am I still?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh.
Yeah, that was
still,
my...
it's not like
a
vision.
Yeah, no, it hasn't gone away.
Everything's stuck to it. Yeah, what you saw in the mirror,
we
now
should
see.
Probably check each other to make sure we're not dead. Just FYI. Because he's covered in blood.
Yeah.
So, like, okay, you'd probably, so my like, reaction might look be to see if you're dying. Yeah.
Everyone seems to have a pulse.
Okay.
Good.
I think then, if that's the case, I am frantically trying to wipe it off with one handkerchief that I have. And it's not in the, it's not going
it's
well.
It's just smearing.
It's probably also mostly congealed at this point.
Yeah. Cute.
So.
Which looks great because you're covered in blood and I'm covered in bruises.
Yeah. Looks like you guys got in a fight.
So she would like look at Adelaide and be like, Adelaide? Because you don't look like Adelaide. You look like your mom, which looks similar to Adelaide, but not Adelaide.
Yep.
Also, she looks like Lottie.
Yeah.
Roll sand.
Yeah, she looks like my
she
friend.
Looks like a beaten
Frederick,
Lottie.
Roll sand for seeing Lottie. Someone you know not to be.
I did not pass that.
Someone you know not to be in your presence.
Oh, I fail.
I'll just give you one.
Thanks.
Sorry, guys.
It's unsettling that Dottie no longer looks like Dottie. Although they are twins, they're not completely identical. Mm-hmm.
No.
This is Lottie, covered in bruises.
Do I feel different?
According to you, you felt satisfied that you were in this military garb.
And do I... Does that
At this point, you're probably feeling unsettled, knowing and seeing what you're seeing.
But like...
I pick up what you're putting down, and I have maybe a solution. Do I feel younger, like significantly younger?
Oh, yeah. That knee pain's gone.
Oh, that means I feel older.
Oh, shit. That means I hurt all the fuck over.
If you're covered in bruises, you probably don't feel great. You probably feel like you've been beaten or something.
Yeah.
Also, none of you are sure whose blood this is.
Yeah, no, I know. But I also think that we kind of... We know that you're covered in blood, but we also know that the shit just went down again. So we may know that, like, or at least I would, personally, Emily would piece together, okay, so we've already been through something where we don't remember what happened and came out on the other side, probably have fornicated with each other, right?
There's no proof.
There is, I don't know, those teeth marks look like Adelaide's. I'm just saying.
Is it too early for dentals?
Yeah, I don't think they have dental records just
Yes, they did.
Bulletproof. Uh-oh.
Sure.
Not records, but you could definitely.
You could
they did bite mark analysis.
Bite mark analysis. Definitely.
Mm-hmm. That was a thing. Because that was back in like the 1800s when they first started that.
They even have like fingerprinting concepts.
Yeah.
So are we comfortable saying that obviously Anita Berber and Henry What's-His-Fuck are involved in some occult activity?
Voodoo shit? Yes.
Fair.
And are we okay saying that we should probably
put a away from them?
Stop to it? So that okay, we're on.
Yeah, they yeah. can't on keep different, doing this.
Yeah, this is not okay.
It's not okay, but also at the same time, we don't feel okay at the moment.
I feel great.
Well, like you guys, you probably feel great, in. But
what would you like to do? You're in a room. You're discussing your situation.
I don't know what to do.
We need to leave.
He's covered in blood.
I'm currently kind of like shedding layers that I can shed, and stuffing the bloodiest parts of my attire into a bag. I'm generally trying to.
Friedrich, what are you wearing?
Military garb.
He's the unbloody military.
How like how many shirts? I'm assuming you have an undershirt.
Yeah.
Okay, give him your undershirt.
All right. I look at him
like questioningly. You take off like, your shirt, give him your undershirt. He cannot walk outside with blood.
Is your undershirt bloody as well? Is
he like bloody? It's probably got some light stains, but the majority of it would have been on the military coat.
Yeah, so I'll just kind of like take off the coat and have you guys look at me and say, is this fine? And that you see, you know, just a little bit of staining.
Okay, I would. Yeah, I'll give you my undershirt.
Sure.
Take your undershirt, put it on, and then button my coat over it.
Right. Yeah.
So I don't want to rub my nipples.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
No, that's fair.
Chafing
is a serious
issue. Just twist those piercings.
It does damage over time. Yeah. Chafing damage. Lucas will make me roll for sanity if my nipples
are chafing. His nipples will be less sensitive and then you can't pinch them.
Roll for chafing.
Yeah. 1d4 sanity loss.
He won't feel it when you lick them.
I quit. I quit this game. Goodbye.
No, stay. We love you.
I'm going to search the piano. I think this bastard piano has something to do with
the piano.
It's a piano.
Do we smell anything?
Yeah, you can open it up.
All right. Do we smell anything?
Give me that coat.
Does it smell like
I'll put the coat in the back of the piano.
All right. You just close it. It is now a...
I was going to fold it up like a knapsack, but okay. And carry around the rest of his bloody clothes with it.
I mean, if you want to take it and wash it... I get it back out because I know Dottie Lottie likes to wash things.
Dottie Lottie.
Dottie Lottie.
I feel like you like throw it at her and she like winces.
All right. What's the plan here?
We need to get out of here. We need to get away. We need to just go regroup elsewhere away from whatever this is. We need to know what time it is. We need to like... We probably need to eat. I'm sure we're hungry.
And I'd like to know if I'm permanently 20 years younger, because that would be quite nice, to be honest.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure some of us don't want to keep these changes, so...
Oh, right, sorry, yes.
Yeah, Dottie's, like, eyes are, like... I mean, I have big eyes, but, like, they're, like, blah. They're, like, owls at the moment.
I'm chill.
The boy's got...
It's unsettlingly chill.
All right, going to the door, open it up, looking out.
You see a stairwell.
I go down the stairs. I look out.
So you exit the building.
Hold on, before Dottie leaves, does she smell anything? Does she see anything? Is there anything out of place? Are the windows open?
Windows open, they're just really high.
Were they open last night?
Yeah, you could see the night sky. Now you don't see a night sky.
There's still two rows of chairs.
Chairs are there. The mirrors are there. The piano's there. That's all that was in the room.
Okay. Let's go. But there's no smells?
No.
Nobody left anything?
No.
Even the piano bench, there's nothing in it?
No. You step outside.
Gotta cover our bases.
Yeah.
Okay.
You head back down the creaking stairway.
And you are now in modern times. Creak. Just kidding.
You emerge into the cafe patio area. You find it utterly deserted. Bits of paper and rubbish blow across the space in stiff, steady wind. And otherwise, there are no signs of life anywhere. The silence around you is pervasive and overwhelming. The trees and the vegetation around the square have all died. They are lifeless. With the exception here and there for...
World of the dead.
With the exception here and there for bushes of white roses.
God damn it.
The sign for Clarishan's Ballas is decrepit, pitted, falling apart, barely dangling by a thread. The building itself is faded and cracked. Large chunks of stone have seemed to have been chipped away from the facade. And the rest of the street on August Strauss appears to be the same. Many of the buildings are falling apart. The sky is sunless, gray, and the street stretches off into an illimitable, deserted dullness. There's no traffic.
Penny farthing still there.
Neither motorized nor pedestrian.
Oh, no.
You hear no birds. You hear no voices. You get this overwhelming sense of isolation around you. The penny farthing out front has rusted and fallen apart.
No! No! Oh my god! It can be fixed.
This is the worst thing that could have happened.
You said you felt pretty good. Look what happens.
Friedrich, solemn now, falls to one knee.
Looking around you, you see here and there monumental neoclassical statues stand on plinths lining the street.
What the
fuck? Nude, cold marble forms with featureless faces. And off to the west, a dome-shaped building of truly epic proportions rises up amidst the gloom, perhaps a half a mile away. Thank you for listening. Berlin, the Wicked City was written by David Larkins with Mike Mason and Len Hardy. You can find us online at RancorsBrothel.com, Facebook at Fans of the Rancors Brothel, and Twitter at Rancors_Brothel.